This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I'm your host, Steve Ulscher. Man, I gotta tell you, I love when we have a full house. And we got another full house today, but we will do this, which is we'll bring our guest in just a little bit, give him a chance to get situated. And we've got actually another guest here with us, and you got to introduce yourself. You're going to have to come on the mic. You can't sit in the studio. No, yeah, don't be shy. Exactly. Come on up. So it's Bettina.
Yes.
And what's your last name, Bettina?
Brandt.
Brandt. Oh, that's right. And yep. So you're here in the San Diego area.
Yes.
Very cool. Welcome.
5 minutes away.
So you're in this general vicinity. Yes. Nice. Okay. And so just for those who are listening, what brought you into the studio? Just kind of give them the background a little bit.
Well, I signed up for PBI, Push Button Influence.
Yeah, you did.
With you and Alex.
You did.
And you gifted me a visit to the studio.
I did.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you very much.
I did.
You have no idea what you did.
I know. It's awesome. So thank you, Bettina, for coming in and hanging out with us. Very cool. And just for those who are unfamiliar with you, what is your area of focus? What do you do? And why did you sign up for Push Button Influence?
That's a loaded question. I do like strategic planning with businesses and I've just been exploring how to reach out and market myself and
cool.
that kind of thing. So
all right. Well, welcome.
Thanks.
You'll learn absolutely nothing here.
at Reinvention Radio. Yeah. No, I don't know. You know what? I have heard from people that actually Reinvention Radio has changed their life. And so I've gotten emails like that. And basically, you know, what they say is it's changed my life to the extent that I will never listen to another podcast ever again or a radio show.
Or they're just so grateful for the life they do have.
They're like, oh, my God.
I am so on it. And these guys aren't.
Exactly. All right. So we got to bring things up to date in terms of where we're at right now. You know, we talk a little bit of politics here on Reinvention Radio. And as you know, the nomination is ostensibly Trump's at this point. I mean, Cruz just dropped out. Kasich dropped out.
No, he's suspended.
That's the same damn
thing. I think he's going to come back.
And do what?
I don't know.
He can't win. And it's interesting, too, because when Trump approached him and said, hey, maybe you should be my vice presidential or residential running mate, Kasich respectfully declined and said, yeah, I don't think so. What's up, Wade?
Okay, you guys.
See, that is a critical thing. They suspended. Rubio suspended.
Yeah.
Cruz suspended because that means if it goes to the primary and something blows up,
yeah,
they're technically still in the game.
Yeah.
And coach, pull me off the bench. So that's why they all just suspended rather than effectively, stopping their campaign.
Yeah. Rich, what is it?
I was just going to say, that's exactly the kind of leader you want. Times are tough. I'm going to sit on the bench for a while and see if you can bring me back in if something else blows up.
Yeah. So basically, if Trump, dies, that's, the only option I think that anybody would have to come back in at this point. But it'll be really interesting to see if he ends up going with a Chris Christie or who he ends up taking. Because I think at the end of the day, he's going to have a hell of a time beating Clinton, especially if Clinton takes Sanders as her running mate, which would certainly be the right thing to do. Are you you following any of this, Bettina?
I am.
What do you think about this?
Don't ask me my opinion.
I want to know.
Politics.
We don't care.
We want to hear it.
We have to hear it. You come in the studio. You're game.
I don't get the whole party system. I don't get any of it. I don't. They all switch. It's a bait and switch. It works for me here.
Yeah.
It's nobody sticks with their story.
So it's true.
I mean, I can't keep track.
Well, that's good news if Trump wins.
Well, there you go, right? And I got to tell you, from my perspective, it's scary, but I honestly think that he's got a really good shot. I mean, when you look at the people that he took down to get to the nomination, it's a pretty scary it frightens the hell out of me, really, when you come right down to it, just because of the positions that he's taken on these various subjects. You would think that people in their right minds would say, I don't know what that is, but I kind of like that. But you would think that people in their right minds would say, you know what? That's just ludicrous. That's just insane. And instead, people are going, Yeah, and we're going to actually fight for this guy. And so there you have it. I don't know. I'm a little bit scared of where we're at here, but I guess it's just a reflection of really where our country is at. So, all right, let's do this. So I want to make sure that before we bring on our guests, that we talk just for a few seconds here about what is going on in San Diego, because I'm scared. I mean, not only am I scared of the political side of the equation, but I'm scared of what happens here when people realize that there is the possibility, just even the remote possibility,
of what?
That there's going to be a storm, that there's going to be rain.
No, it's not going to happen.
I knew literally, my so check this out. So, Rich, did you play football?
Yes.
Okay. And did you play football when it rained? Or when it was cold?
That's when football is supposed to be
played. That's when you're supposed to play.
Exactly. That's how I see it. So there is a league of about 1,200 kids, of which my kids are part of that. I coach two teams. And today is Thursday.
Brother.
Today is Thursday. They already canceled all of the games for tomorrow night. Friday Night Lights. They play Friday nights. They canceled all of the games. It's football.
In anticipation of rain?
In anticipation of the rain.
It only rains like 2 minutes at a time here.
Just a little. I'm not trying to say I support that, but the difference between tomorrow's rain is it's supposed to be thunder and lightning.
So what? It thunders and lightning. Like that's it.
I'm from Minnesota. That's the way we. That was the best football games were when it was downpour.
Right?
Rain.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I know. So I guess I'm just kind of concerned about, like, are we creating soft kids here, like in San Diego, like generally speaking, and probably all of Southern California when you come right down to it, because the weather is so good. I think you get spoiled, and I think it, like, you don't have any adversity. It's like you go outside and it's sunny and it's nice out. You don't have the opportunity to deal with, like, you know, things that might be somewhat challenging. And then, it's going to be challenging, so let's just cancel it. So
that is kind of funny.
I mean, what are we saying to our kids, just out of curiosity?
The kids have more fun in the rain anyway.
Oh, the kids definitely have more fun, right?
It's the parents that don't want to.
It's probably the parents.
Deal with a mess.
But even lightning. I mean, even lightning. Let's come right down to it. You know, how many kids can one bolt, you know, like, really, how many kids can one bolt of lightning kill anyway?
Really. It's kind of like a direct shot, so probably only one.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So it's like, okay, so we lose one kid. Now, I don't see that as, like, should all 1,199 other kids have to suffer because one kid gets shot? Yeah, it's, I don't know.
I tried to warn you, Bettina.
Bettina's like, I don't really want to come in the studio, but I will just watch from behind the glass and then just, yeah, kind of see what's what. All right, but let me ask you this. So, Rich, when you played football, right, and would you, first and foremost, if you had a son, I know you don't, but if you had a son, would you let your son play football knowing what you know now?
I'd let him play anything that he enjoyed. If I could sway a direction, I'd probably go towards golf or baseball for,
yes,
right,
for longevity.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if he loved football, I'm not going to stop him from playing football.
So even tackle football?
Yeah, I'd give the precautions, you know, the right kind of gear, the right helmet, all that stuff. But yeah, I just don't know.
Did you see the movie Concussion? Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Okay, you got to see that movie. Did you see Concussion?
No, I did. We were talking about it. Who was talking about that?
I don't know, maybe a month back or something like that. But yeah, Will Smith is...
It's pretty scary.
Did you see it?
No, but they said the helmets really don't help.
No.
Because the impact makes the brain ricochet off the skull. And that's where the concussions come from. Right, Bettina?
Yeah, my son's had three.
Wait, he's
only 14.
Golf.
But he doesn't play football. He plays soccer.
He
fell down the steps with his hands down his boxers when he was like 5 years old.
Wait, I'm sorry. He had his hands down his boxers.
I saw that coming.
I just want to make sure.
He fell down the steps and all of a sudden he came right down and landed on his head. And yeah.
By the way, I've done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for 20 years. I am convinced I've probably had multiple concussions doing this. How do you even know when you have a concussion? That's what I don't.
You have
that's
a
what
headache?
I don't.
Yeah.
A bad one?
Bump into walls, speak gibberish.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe I haven't ever had a concussion.
No, I
had
think that's exactly that the diagnosis.
I was just going to say, it sounds like you had
gibberish. That's it.
Or it's a permanent concussion. There we go. So it's been like subtle, and now it's just full on, like permanent concussion. But all right, Mary, so if you had boys, I mean, you got your little girls who are growing up so big now, but if you had boys, would you let them play football in knowing what you know now? I mean, and you're here in San Diego and the whole Junior Seau thing and whatnot. I mean, would you let him play?
I would probably want to do the same thing Rich was mentioning, like educate them. This is the reality around this sport.
Yeah. But it's the other kids that need to be educated, because it's not like your kid is going to do whatever they're going to do. It's the other kids that are going to be giving them the concussion, because they're going to be like running from across the field, like helmet first. And obviously their parents didn't want to have the same conversation.
Just be the kicker. How's that?
You know, that's like
John Carney made a good life.
Well, you know, himself. I mean, in the scheme of things, if you're going to play football and you're going to make a living, that's got to be the safest way to do it, no doubt about that.
I would rather have my kids get into golf.
But all you got to look at is like the, golf is a good thing, but people die playing golf too.
How?
Lightning.
Well, yeah, they're carrying like.
But like, not in California.
So it's funny. So they'll cancel the flag football games, but they won't cancel the high school golf tournament. So, I mean, go figure. These kids are walking around with lightning rods. Like, literally, they are walking around with lightning rods going, okay, you know, let's just put it to chance. And by the way, there are lightning rods on every hole. The flagpole. That is like a steel lightning rod on every single hole. But they don't cancel the, you know, the golf tournaments.
They cancel tennis practice and tournaments at Cathedral.
Okay, well, that's probably pretty smart. But I'm thinking that if you have a son at this point, you can't get him into football. You just can't. And I mean, my kids are playing flag football, which is fun, and I get that. But all I know is that they've got to figure out how to overcome some of these nonsensical things. I just don't get it.
So you're going to let them play in high school?
I'm totally not going to let them play at all.
Thank you.
Yeah, end of story. All right, we've got pretty interesting guests coming on here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What Is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulcher, Mary Willer, Rich Ote, and we got Bettina hanging out with us.
Woo!
Woo! All right, so we got a very special guest on. Been looking forward to this all week. Mary, can we bring, let's bring Dan in, and just want to make sure. So, Dan, are you there? And hold on, got to hit the button. Let's try that one.
Why did you
Dan,
do
are
that?
You there? How about that one?
That's
hey,
right
Steve,
way
how are you? I'm excited to be on your show.
Hey, there we go. All right, we got Dan. And before I totally butcher your name for the rest of the show, is it Loke or Lock?
Lock.
Okay. That one I can handle. All right, very cool. So you've got a really interesting story, man. I have to admit, and I'm a little bit ashamed to admit it, but I wasn't familiar with who you are until it was brought to my attention you're coming on the show here. And after digging into your story, man, holy smokes, that's a lot of stuff going on there over the years, and you're a fairly young guy. How old are you at this point?
I'm 34 years old now.
34, wow, geez. And so you came here from what country?
Well, I was born in Hong Kong, and I came to North America years ago, when I was 14 years old, with no money, no connections, and not a word of the English language on my lips. I mean, some of my friends, they say, I still speak like Jackie Chan. Mm-hmm. I think I'm better than Jackie Chan.
And so just so I'm clear, when you came here at 14, did you come here on your own? Did your parents send you here, or did you come with your family?
I came with my mom because at the time, my mom and dad, unfortunately, after we came here, because I was getting into a lot of trouble when I was in Hong Kong. I was getting into fights and getting involved with the wrong people. And so my mom decided, no, we got to get him out of here. So I came with my mom, and then my mom and dad got divorced when I was 16 years old. So then I'm the only child in my family. So I basically, my mom took care of me. So, love my mom.
Yeah.
Love my mom.
Yeah. And so just so I'm clear on this, was your, when you say your parents got divorced at 16, but you came here when you were 14, was your dad in the picture at all when you were in Hong Kong?
No. I didn't know. They've been wanting to divorce for a while.
Okay.
But I think they were just waiting for me to get to here and settle and everything, mm-hmm. and then they filed divorce paper.
You know, it's really interesting because they talk about how, have you ever seen, Rich, maybe you've seen this, or Mary, maybe you've seen this, or maybe Bettina, you've seen this, but have you ever seen
somebody.
That? Somebody help me, has seen it somewhere. But it's like there was a study done of, I think it was either elephants or rhinoceroses. Rhinoceri?
Where are we going with this, Steve?
We're going to fun places. All right, but the study was rhinos. That rhinos, there we go. When the study was basically, you put all of these sort of like youthful rhinos or elephants or whatever it was into a situation where they didn't have a male figure as, you know, as the head of that household, head of that pack. I guess they don't really have households in rhino or elephant land, but as the head of that pack, and like they started acting, you know, crazy, right? They just didn't act right. They did dumb things. They were destructive, this, that, and the other. And then you introduced the father into the pack and brought the father back, and like everything got back in line. It was really interesting. I mean, I know people talk about that, but even instinctually, I mean, Dan, do you think that some of the reasons why you were acting out and got into some of that trouble was because of the fact that you didn't have that father figure to learn from and to keep you sort of in check, if you will?
It could be, because when I was growing up, I might see my dad maybe once or twice a month. I don't see him very often. Mm-hmm. So when he comes home, it's kind of like a big deal. Because he is a businessman, he travels a lot. So, you know, growing up, I mean, I don't actually know him that well.
Yeah, but he wasn't around, and so some of the troubles you were getting into, the fights and, you know, maybe some of the trouble with the law and that sort of thing.
Correct.
If you had a father figure, if you will, in your life at that point, it just kind of begs the question, right? I mean, Rich, we talk about this all the time. It's kind of that nature versus nurture. So Dan is wired in a very specific way, but in a nurture type environment without the father there, then you're kind of left, so to speak, to your own devices. So do you think if your dad was there, you would have been different? Just because we often have a nature versus nurture conversation on Reinvention Radio here. We've been talking about that for quite some time. So I'm just curious, do you think it would have been different for you if your dad was there?
Maybe, but later on, and my dad, at first when we, even though my dad was sending us a little bit of money and a little bit of allowance, you know, taking care of my mom, and then my dad, after a couple of years, went bankrupt in Hong Kong.
Mm.
So that he couldn't send us money anymore. And that's how I kind of got into business. I was never interested in money or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had to take care of my mom. You could say I had to stop being a boy and grow up to be a man.
Yeah.
And then that, looking back, I'm actually very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was a lot of resentment,
sure.
a lot of anger towards
sure.
my dad. But now looking back, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
So it's never too late for a happy childhood.
So it's never too late for a happy childhood. That's beautiful.
No, I
Rich.
Always say, you know, your adversity is your greatest advantage.
Your adversity is your greatest advantage.
Now, they all, you know, say, I come from a dysfunctional family. I said, good. Mm-hmm. That's very good.
Everybody does.
No, don't use that as an excuse. Use right. that as a reason why you want to make something of yourself.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So if you hang out with a group of friends and, like, nobody has a dysfunctional family, then clearly you're the one with a dysfunctional family. So it's like that's just kind of the way that it is. But, yeah, I mean, I think everybody in one way or another has that dysfunction. But, you know, at 14 years old, when you were brought here, you didn't speak the language at all, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes. When I was in high school, I was one of the only three like Chinese in my school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was basically an outsider. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kids, they teased me, they made fun of me, I got beat up almost, you know, every couple of weeks.
So where so was this, by the way?
That was in high school. So I was a loner all the way through high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like, you know, Steve, do you still have friends from high school days?
You know, a couple here and there.
Couple here? Okay, good. Like, I guess I have none. I have a few enemies, though,
right.
But I have none.
Yeah.
So growing up in that kind of environment, like, you just imagine going to a country where you don't speak the language.
Sure.
So growing up, I didn't have a lot of confidence, and I wasn't one of those people that was, you know, they had big dreams that I was going to do some great or wonderful things, and and you know, I guess, and I didn't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know all the right people in all the right places.
Yeah,
I didn't know anybody.
And what city? And by the way, what city were you in when you came here?
Vancouver, Canada.
Okay. So you went to Canada. Are you still in Vancouver, or where are you at now?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wow. So you came there and you stayed there. Interesting. So,
yes.
Mary, you had a question?
Well, I'm just wondering, what was the turnaround that helped you, I don't know, catapult yourself so high in business and money and life? What changed that? What was that?
I always remember the moment. One day, after school, I came home. My mom was in the bedroom. At the time, we were living in a one-bedroom apartment. So I was in the living room. My mom was in the bedroom, and she was on the phone with my dad. And she was crying on the phone. And afterwards, I knocked on the door. I said, Mom, is everything okay? She's like, oh, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry. It's going to be fine. And that's when I found out my dad went bankrupt, that he couldn't send us money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I still clearly remember the facial expression of my mom, the sadness in her eyes, that the hopelessness, you could say. And I said, you know what? As my mom sacrificed so much for being here, taking care of me, giving up everything. I just said, you know what? I didn't ever want to see that face again. I would never let that happen to my mom. I don't care what it takes. I would take care of her.
So what'd you do?
And that was the turning point for me. That's it. At the time, then from there, you know what? I need to get a job. I need to make money and put food on the table. I need whatever it takes. That's when I went to the path. I need to achieve. I need to be successful, so I can, you could say, protect my family. And that's when I made a switch.
How old were you at that point?
16.
Oh, at 16. Wow. So what was the first? I'm sure you remember this. What was the first job that you actually had that paid you legitimately?
I've only had one job in my entire life, and that was as a grocery bagger in a supermarket. You know, the people at the checkout where they put your grocery in the bag and take it to your car. That
the
was my job.
Bag.
I've only had one job for 1 year of my entire life.
Wow.
Worked there for 1 year, and I've learned something. Now, Steve, I've learned something very important from that job, though. Very, very important. And that is, I'm unemployable.
Right. Don't put the eggs on the bottom.
I don't ever, ever want to work for somebody else. And that's when I, you know, start on the path of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, but what was the first endeavor? Because, like, a lot of people want to move from the grocery checkout line to being an entrepreneur. So,
yes.
And by the way, we're probably going to get cut off here in just a couple of minutes. Let's just keep it, maybe just to a couple of minutes here. But what was that first? Well, how did you start creating income for yourself? I mean, obviously, you've gotten to the point of creating wealth, but how did you begin creating income for yourself when you were still, you know, basically the bagger?
The first business I started was a lawn mowing business with just a couple of my buddies in high school. And we borrow a lawn mower from one of our neighbors, and we just start knocking on doors and say, you know, do you want your mow lawn? And we can mow your lawn, we can do it, and we just did it.
Wow.
And we were making a little bit of money, but that's why my first taste of what's it like to have a little bit of business and kind of, you know, earn a living.
Mm-hmm.
That's my first business.
And what came after that? Because people are always just like, how did you get from point A to point B? So I can see it. Okay, so you're bagging groceries, then you move into the lawnmower thing. What did you do directly after that? Do you remember?
Yes, from there, and I was what I call basically a success kind of a junkie.
Mm-hmm.
I was jumping from one thing to another. I would try, you know, mail order. I would try, you know, fixing computers for people. I try all types of businesses, jumping from one thing to another, but none of them really worked for me until I found a mentor. Now, that may not be the answer for everybody, but that was the answer for me.
Mm-hmm.
After many, many failures, I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe I'm not as smart as I think I am.
Yeah.
Maybe there's someone else that can teach me a few things or two.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do this. We're going to have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. But I do want to talk to Dan about the importance of having a mentor and who that mentor was and how that mentor impacted his life. Because I think that there's something to be said for not trying to go it alone. And, I mean, here's somebody who came over to this country, didn't speak the language at all, had no money in his pocket, and has gotten to the point where he is now. And a lot of that he's saying is attributed to a mentor. So let's talk about that here right after the break on Reinvention Radio.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back here to another edition of Reinvention Radio. Mary Gualey, Richard Tate, Steve Ulcher, and Bettina's here. Hey, hey, woo! The enthusiasm is just deafening from that side of the table. Let's bring Dan back on here. So, Dan, before the break, we were talking about the importance of having a mentor. Who was your mentor? How did you meet him, and how did he impact your life?
My first mentor's name is Alan Jacks, and Alan, at the time, he used to run one of the very successful advertising agencies in Canada. So I actually met him at a business seminar. And then at the seminar, I asked him out for lunch, and he agreed. And from then on, we developed kind of a little relationship, and he took me under his wing. And basically, I worked for him for next to nothing for a year, kind of like almost like a volunteer. And I would go to the office, I would clean the office, and I would, you know, take the stuff to the postal office. And he taught me marketing, he taught me copywriting.
What was his
and
business
that's
at
my
that
first
point?
Advertising.
Advertising. Okay, so that's what I'm doing. Yeah, yeah.
Advertising.
Okay.
So he taught me marketing, how to sell products, how to move products, and that's the first you could say high income skill that I developed. It's very one of the concepts that I teach. It's called the wealth triangle. That I believe there are three steps to wealth.
Yeah, let's talk about that in a little bit. Yeah, because I saw that on your site, and I definitely want to talk about that. So he taught you that. You were with him for a year or so. I think you kind of alluded to the fact that there was another mentor. So was there another mentor after that as well?
Correct. So after that, so from Alan, I worked for him for 1 year, and then I started my own kind of one-man advertising agency, writing sales copy for entrepreneurs and business owners. Now, this is talk about in my early 20s, maybe 20, 22 or something like that. I was making about $10,000 a month at home.
$10,000 a month.
Steve, that month. That it may not be a lot of money for some people, but to me that felt like $1 million.
Oh, dude, in your early 20s, it's amazing. And to boot, English is your second language.
Yes.
Yeah. What are we doing?
That's unreal. So you'd been in the country for 5, 6, 7, 8 years at that point.
Yes.
English is your second language, and you're
second
writing
language.
And you're writing sales copy. That's unbelievable.
In English,
right?
Yes,
I mean, did you ever think about writing sales copy in Chinese? I mean, or Mandarin or whatever? Did you ever think about going back to those?
I don't know if I could, quite frankly. I don't know. I've been here for so long now. I'm not so sure.
Interesting. Okay, so, I mean, but that's a pretty successful gig, 10 G's a month. So why did you walk away from that? Or what was more appealing or what was more lucrative after that?
Very good. I mean, your show is reinvention. I think every few years we have to kind of reinvent ourselves. I could be very comfortable. I mean, I was taking care of my mom. I was providing for her and paying all the bills and everything. 10 grand a month. I mean, you live a pretty comfortable life.
Yeah.
But I know in order to get to the next level, I need to let go what I have and reinvent myself to go to the next level. So from there, you could say timing, to say I could say a little bit of luck that I went onto the internet. And I putting together a website, start marketing products online. I was importing stuff from Hong Kong, Bruce Lee collectibles, and selling it on eBay. Yes. Because I'm a Bruce Lee fan.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, I was, you know, selling all kinds of stuff, and it was making more money. And like, oh, this is nice. So from copywriting to now, you could say more like an internet marketing. That's my second skill, right? So I invent myself as an internet marketer. Then from there, affiliate marketing and things like that. And I mean,
yeah, I want to go back for 1 second to just the whole product side of the equation, because there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, I would like to get into that. And I know there's like Alibaba and there's some other marketplaces. If you were advising someone now who wanted to get into this whole world of selling products online, sourcing the product and then marking it up and reselling it, whether through eBay or through your own storefront or whatever it might be. How do people do that? How did you do that? Because you were here, but yet you were selling, you were sourcing products. And it's not that long ago. I don't think we're talking about that long ago. We're talking about 6, 7, 8 years ago or whatever it was. So, I mean, it's still probably pretty fresh in your mind. How did you do it then, and how can people do it now?
It's more, it's my interest. I was browsing on eBay, and I noticed there's just a market for it, that people would buy these collectibles. And I'm like, oh, okay, I understand the marketplace. Maybe I could offer this. And I just put up a couple listings. I could say, Steve, I was too stupid to know like what not to do or what to do, and I just did it. And I sold one, and I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. If I sold one, maybe I can sell two, and maybe I can sell three. And just from there, I was sourcing products. I was going back to Hong Kong maybe once a year just to find different products that I could buy. And I was getting my relatives to ship me stuff that I could sell, and I just got into it. I didn't overthink it too much at the time.
Rich was actually talking on the break here about just sort of that power of ignorance and just putting your head down and just going, I've got a goal. I know that I've got to do something here to bring in revenue. And so, Rich, we'll just explain what you were saying there on the break.
Yeah, I was saying it seems like, let's just stick with the internet marketing world and copyright and all that stuff. It seems as if the two ways people are successful are they either... Is there something like something?
Sorry.
Yeah, a little something there.
It's supposed to be singing a song or something.
Right.
They either are like the bumblebee that doesn't know they're aerodynamically not supposed to be able to fly, so they fly anyway. And they just put their head down and go. Like you said, you were too dumb to know you couldn't, although I don't believe that, but you know what I'm saying. Or they get the mentor, and you happen to do both. Right. And so it's like you didn't realize you couldn't. You get the mentor who says you could. You just put your head down and went for it.
Yes. I always believe like it's resources versus resourcefulness. Right. So people say, oh, I don't know enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have the right connections. I don't know where to get the product. Every little thing just stops them versus being resourceful. I just say, you know what? If I don't know how to, let me find out. Who's doing it? Who can I learn from? Can I talk to some people? Can I go to a trade show? Can I talk to some vendors? What do they have? It's a lot of stuff is with the internet. It's out there. But funny thing is, from my experience, people don't go into that, what I call the information gathering mode. They're just too lazy to do it.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, it almost sounds like because you were in a situation where you had to perform. I mean, let's just come right down to it. I mean, you had to bring in, you had to bring in money. Like, you didn't have the luxury of not hustling. And I think that there is something to be said for needing to hustle, right? And that's a really interesting place to come from, because when you're in that, just in that mindset of I have to hustle, I have to just put my head down and make this work, then it gives you an opportunity to do things that, frankly, if you knew better, like you said, I mean, if you knew better, you probably wouldn't do them.
You're exactly right. I mean, I think people only make a change either it's inspiration or desperation. I like to back myself in a corner. Even nowadays, I still do. Put myself in a corner. I like to run my business as if I'm broke. I like to go to bed as if I'm rich.
Wow.
So I run my business as if I have no money, even though I could write a check. Anybody can write the check. But how can I get it done without writing the check? That takes guts, and that takes intelligence.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah.
And I want you to go, and I want you to talk about the wealth triangle, because that's pretty cool. And so who was the mentor that introduced you to that, and what is it?
Yeah, so the second mentor I have, it's his name is Dan Pena. You can search him online, and he's known as the $50 billion man because he's created, you know, equity and value for his mentees for over $50 billion. Mm. I call him Big Dan. Big Dan's been, you know, mentoring me for a number of years now. And so the wealth triangle is something actually I came up with, and then basically there are three steps to it. There's three corners to a triangle. Mm-hmm. The first is what I call high-income skills. High-income skills. How I define high-income skills, it's any skill that could make you more than $100,000 a year. Now, so at the time, my first mentor, Alan, he gave me my first high-income skill, right? So it could be a coach, you could be a consultant, you could be an internet marketing, whatever you might do, but mm-hmm. that's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part of the equation is scalable business. So it could be an internet marketing business, it could be an e-commerce business, it could be a software company, but a scalable business. And the third is what I call high return investments. And how I define high return investments is investments that can provide you with more than 10% return a year, year in and year out. Now, mm-hmm. Steve, here's what's interesting. A lot of people, they try to get into business, they try to jump into scalable business without high income skill, and that's how I see most people fail, because as you know, most small businesses fail in the first 5 years because they need the business to work very, very quickly. And sometimes it takes time. Mm-hmm. It might take a year, it might take 2 years, it might take 3 years for the business to be profitable, but they can't wait. And when you're coming from that place, when you need to make business decisions from a place of weakness and desperation, that's not good. And that's why most people fail. They have no high-income skills. But when you have that high-income skill, it's something you can always fall back on. You mm-hmm. make your money. You're counting on yourself. You're providing your expertise, your experience, your knowledge. You're adding value to the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, unless you're stupid with your money, but for most people, I believe 10 grand a month, I mean, you're okay. I mean, you're taking care of yourself, you're paying the bills, you're comfortable. From there, then when you start a business, it's easier. That's been my experience.
Yeah, which leads you directly into, well, basically what is lovingly known as FU money, which is the name of one of your books, which is super cool,
and I do want to
talk about that. So what we're going to do here is we're going to have to take another break here on Reinvention Radio. And we're talking to Dan Locke, and pretty interesting story. I mean, when you talk about inspirational, somebody who comes here not knowing the language, 14 years of age, has to hustle just to be able to support his mom because dad's not in the picture, and is faced with the necessity of performing. And I think a lot of us, he even said it himself, you know, a lot of people get lazy in terms of doing the research or in terms of just digging in and getting done what needs to be done. That's, man, it's like it kind of just goes back to the fact, like, if a guy like this can do it, if we have all that we have as individuals, as, you know, we've got our support systems, etc., why are some of us not able to get to that level? So pretty interesting conversation here with Dan Locke. More on Reinvention Radio with Dan right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
All righty, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I'm just going to just like do the phonetic spelling pronunciation from this point forward. No, that'd be really annoying.
No,
I shouldn't
do that.
No, please don't. Okay, no. You look pained.
I know. I'm just looking at you like, really?
You look pained. All right. Mary Gualey Richard Tay, Steve Ulsher, Bettina in the house. Hey.
Hi.
So how was your experience so far?
Oh, I love it.
Is it as good for you as it is for Rich?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, look at that smile. Hey, high five. Yes. All right, sweet. All right, so we got Dan Locke on the phone here. Let's bring Dan back in. Dan, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, awesome. Welcome back. All right, so given what you charge hourly, man, it's a pleasure to have you here. And please don't send us the bill. That's all we ask, okay?
I thought the invoice is in the mail, man.
Is it in the mail already? Yeah, well, there you go. You know, it's interesting. We were talking here on the break just about how that immigrant mentality is pretty darn powerful, right? I mean, you think about the number of successful entrepreneurs, and you can chalk up a whole bunch of them to folks that are first generation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I think statistics show, I think immigrants are something like 4 times more likely to be millionaires than those who are born in the States, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the number is, but I mean, the stats, statistics are out there.
Yeah. Let's talk about, just out of curiosity, because you mentioned the 10 grand a month. And I've always said, like, if I had $5 million in the bank at 5% and I was earning $250K a year, so I'm getting $20K a month basically just to live off of interest wise. I've always said if I can't live off of $20K a month, then like I've got some serious issues that I'm probably going to have to get some help for, because it's like, you know, I mean, $20K a month, plenty for just about damn near everything. So you were talking about $10K a month and how most people could be pretty comfortable with that. Why did you shift into what you define and others define as FU money? And what does that mean in your way of thinking?
Good question. So with high income skill at the time, I was comfortable, but it's maybe my part of my DNA. I just wanted to grow. I wanted to do more. It's like nowadays, even though, you know, I'm very comfortable financially, but I work harder than ever. I put in more hours than ever. But I'm at a point where it's not so much just keeping it for myself. It's about business partners and some of my mentees and helping them grow. So get to a point where FU money, and in case, you know, people think, oh, is it, you know, FU money? Like, what does that mean? It is exactly what it means. and it's where to get a point where you don't take shit from nobody.
Yeah.
That you could walk away from a deal. You could fire your boss. You can live life on your own terms. And that's very, very powerful. Steve, I believe, you know, people talk about the concept of financial freedom, that you want, you know, you get to a point where, like you say, you have a big lump sum in the bank, you have some, you know, interest coming in, so, you know, passive income coming in. When your passive income exceeds your expense, you're financially free. You've heard that before, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I believe the concept of financial freedom is actually out of date.
Okay.
I don't believe in that. I used to preach that. I used to believe in that, but now I'm more mature. I don't believe in that philosophy anymore. Because just because you're free today doesn't mean you're free tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because you have passive income coming in today from whatever business, whatever ventures, whatever investments you have today, doesn't mean you are free 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. So that concept, so financial freedom is an illusion. What I believe in is financial confidence, meaning that you are at a point where you have the abilities to create, to produce, to innovate, to add value to the marketplace. Mm-hmm. That everything could be everything could be gone.
Mm-hmm.
People can take away everything you have, but you can make it back. That's financial confidence.
So that's a skill,
and that's how
right?
ties in with FU money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I totally get it. I mean, that's a skill. Like, people have said, you could take somebody who has made it, you know, and that's of course a relative term, but somebody who has been financially successful with a business, they lose it all. You could then almost count, well, more times than not, you could count them back into the game as being able to make it again, because people have the ability, once they kind of crack that code, they can do it time and time again, regardless of their setback. So as you've worked with all of the people that you've worked with over the years, and even for yourself, what do you think are some of the key components of that code?
Well, I've had ups and downs in my career, and I think it boils down to what I believe. It's either your mindset, which you talk about a lot, of course, but also your skill sets. That having those skill sets you can fall back on. So in early days, I developed my operating skill, then later on internet marketing skill, then consulting skill, public speaking skill, and then deal making skill, and then now later on investing skill. Those are all the skills that I have. Mm-hmm. It's my skill sets that make me money, mm-hmm. not so much the opportunity. You know, nowadays people say to me that, oh, you know, Dan, now everything you touch turns to gold. I always tell them, you should meet me 10 years ago when everything I touch turns to shit. You know? Yeah. You know, now I have the Midas touch, but back then, you know, it's like, Steve, you know, I would buy a stock and it would go down.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
It's just everything I touch, why? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm still the same guy. I'm still Dan, but my skill sets and my mindset has changed.
Yeah, my dad has that. He calls it the chest hair. And the chest hair that basically just throws out like this radiation to all the red lights so that no matter where he is, when he comes near that intersection, the light turns red. That's like, that's my dad.
That's where he's putting all his energy.
That's where he's putting all of his energy. Have you seen Curb Your Enthusiasm? That's my dad times like about 10.
Really?
Like, yeah, like right there. So let me ask you this. I'm just real curious here, Dan. And by the way, for those that are interested in finding out more information about Dan, danlok.com. It's actually D-A-N-L-O-K, so no C. So D-A-N-L-O-K.com. You can find out all sorts of great information there, and all of his books are available as well. But I'm just curious, like, how did you get permission from Sun Tzu to redo The Art of War for the new millennium? Just, I love the fact that he's your co-author. How'd you do that?
Well, Sun Tzu at the time, the Art of War falls into public domain name, right?
Ah.
So anybody, you could take
really?
The book and you can revise it and you can see that's also information gathering. Most people don't know.
Interesting.
There are a lot of classic works that fall into public domain that you can republish and you can add your own personal spin and you can publish it again.
That's a great idea. So like, what is it, Napoleon Hill? Like, he's old enough now where you could do that, like, right?
People are doing it right now.
People are doing it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's correct.
So that would be a great, mm-hmm. and I want to kind of back up just for 12 seconds here, because I'm not clear on scalable business in terms of what a scalable business actually is. What does that look like? And we just got to wrap it up here in just about a minute. So if you had to describe a scalable business, what would that look like in just about 60 seconds?
Very simple. It's a business that you could scale up without a whole lot of infrastructure, without, you know, hiring a lot of people. Example, if I have a restaurant business and I want to open up more locations and grow revenue, I got to put in a lot of money, renovation, sign a lease,
yeah.
you know, hire a whole bunch of people. That's not very scalable.
No.
Let's say in an internet business where, let's say I'm buying products from China. I just need to buy more products, you know, and I can grow more traffic. I can drive more traffic to it, get more customers. That's a scalable business. It just simply means a business you can grow without a whole lot of infrastructure.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, what's got you most excited for 2016?
I would say it's interesting. If you asked me 3-4 years ago, what's my goal, I could tell you I have all kinds of goals, financial goal, business goal, personal goals. Nowadays, 2016, I actually, if you ask me and say, you know what, Dan, what's your goal? I don't have one.
Mm.
I actually do not have one. Mm-hmm. I now more just live in the flow, and I enjoy every day, and I focus on the presence.
Yeah.
And just live life.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so, man, awesome having Dan on the line with us here, and then knowing how busy he is for you to give us that kind of time, man, is seriously, seriously appreciated. So if you want to find out more information about Dan Lok, again, it's danlok.com. So that's Dan Lok. And he's got a lot of really interesting books. He's got a great podcast called The Shoulders of Titans, books like The Midas Touch, Secrets of Top Canadian Performers, FU Money, my personal favorite. And then I know, Mary, this is probably your personal favorite, Lies Salon Owners Believe, because I know that that's something that is near and dear to your heart. And
to my
hair. And I learned something new here. I can co-author a book with Sun Tzu. So that's you're going to see that from me very, very soon here.
Okay.
Okay, very cool. All right, Dan Lok, thanks so much for joining us here on Reinvention Radio. Mary Goulet, Rich Orte. I'm Steve Olscher. Bettina, thanks for joining us here.
Thanks.
Hope you had a good time. White Way, Kelly Polker. We'll talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.